disuse, fallen into disrepair.
Start your day the Torah way, Northwest London, Friday, 12th of Cheshvan, 27th of October, Rabbi Mordechai Weiss, Shlita, a real Kiddush Hashem. This week's Torah way has been sponsored anonymously.
Good morning, everyone. Morning. So, as usual, I'd like to first start off by thanking the organizers, Reb Dudi, Reb Josh, for giving me the opportunity and the honor of being part of this wonderful start today, the Torah way. And Be'ez Hashem, I wish them much atzlocha, and I wish the whole Eidah much atzlocha, and for many, many more years to come, I wish the self with health. This week, Parshas Lech Lechu starts off with one of the 10 nisyonos of Avraham Avinu, one of the 10 challenges Avraham Avinu went through, which is the nisyon of Lech Lechu. The nisyon of Lech Lechu is something which needs explanation. It's something which is difficult to understand, especially since the Medrash tries to figure out which Nisoyon was bigger. It was the Akedas Yitzchak, where he had to sacrifice his own son. Was that greater? Or was the Nisoyon of Lech Lechu Ma'artzecha, going away from your hometown, was that greater? Now, it's difficult to understand, because to take your one and only son, your beloved son, and to sacrifice him seems obvious that that was a much, much greater challenge than just leaving your hometown. So what's this whole challenge, the whole Nisoyon of Lech Lechu?
Yeah, he was promised wealth.
Especially since it was promised wealth. Exactly, exactly. It needs a hesbeh. Now, before we go into it, to just mention two small interesting diyukim on the pesukim. The pasuk starts off Lech Lechu. One should go to yourself. Avraham Avinu, please go to yourself. Have you ever heard someone tell you, please go to yourself? Tell you, go. Can't even go to yourself. Lech Lechu, go to yourself. What does it mean, go to yourself? Next question is, Lech Lechu, where should you go away from? My Artzecho, from your land, from your homeland, my Meladotecho, from your hometown, my Sarichu, from your father's home, Eluretz Asherereku. Now imagine if I would tell Reb Yanki, I want you to go from Machzik HaDas Shul to your house. Does that make any sense? No, because if he is in Machzik HaDas Shul, then you don't tell him, I want you to go from here to wherever you're going. You tell him, just go home. Then obviously that means that you have to leave the place where you are. So if Hashem is talking to Avraham Avinu whilst he is in his hometown, and he's telling him, go to El Oretz Asherereku, to the country which I will show you, why does he have to specify and say, go away from your hometown, from your homeland, from your father's home? Just say, go away, go to the land which I will show you. And obviously that means going away from where you are. It's impossible to go away from somewhere where you're not. You could only go away from wherever you are. I mean, I think that's obvious. That's two things which perhaps you could try and answer a little bit. Coming back to what was the challenge, what was the nesoyon of Lech Lechu? Heilige Ramban, the Ramban says a beautiful hezbe, and he says, there's another thing which we have to really understand, says the Ramban. Hashem promised him tremendous amount of you will be zeuche, you will merit to have kids, you will merit to have wealth, you will merit to have fame, you will merit to have all the good things in the world. For what? For going away from your hometown, from going to the land which I will show you. Now, it says, Ramban says, in the whole Torah, we always find that if you do good things, you will merit good reward. Yeah, and if you will do what says in the Torah, you will merit very various different things. But just by doing things which seemingly don't, imagine if Hashem would tell Avraham Avinu, please dance on the table 20 times, and then you will merit wealth, fame, and you will deliver the kids. You would understand it sounds strange, because it's not something which has any significance. Yeah, dancing on the table 20 times doesn't mean anything. So why? What's this big significance of going away from your hometown to an unknown land? Why is that so important that you will merit because of that so many good rewards, so many good things? That means a hezbe. So what Hashem wanted is a very simple thing. He says Avraham Avinu was created for one and only reason. And that's the reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. He created the world that the world should bring him honor, that we should be Mekadosh Hashem Shemaim, that a person should go around making Kiddush Hashem. And Hashem wanted Avraham Avinu to make a Kiddush Hashem. And Hashem knew that as long as he's going to be surrounded by people who are harassing him and hating him and throwing him into fire, he will not be able to be Mekadosh Hashem Shemaim. So he told Avraham Avinu, I'm going to tell you to go on a mission, to go on a life's mission, to go on a life's journey. You're going to go from town to town, and wherever you're going to come, you're going to be Mefasim, you're going to glorify Hashem's name, you're going to call out that Hashem, He is the King of the world, and you're going to be Mekadosh Hashem Shemaim. And specifically for that reason, he didn't tell him what country he wants him to go to, because he didn't want to tell him to go straight away there. He wanted him to go around from country to country, from town to town, and wherever he goes, he'll make a Kiddush Hashem and be Mekadosh Hashem Shemaim. That was the purpose of this challenge, and for that he will merit all those great things. He will merit fame, he will merit kids, and he will merit to have wealth. Anything that happened to Avraham Avinu, all the 10 challenges, is really a reflection of what every single individual goes through in his lifetime. Zuk the Heilige Ramban, that every single Yid was created for exactly the same purpose. Every single Yid in Klal Yisrael has the Nesoyin of Lech Lecho Me'atzichu. Hashem planted every single individual in his or her place, in his or her town. They were born in a specific family, they were born in a specific place in the world, they were born with specific challenges, with specific talents, for that one and only reason. And Hashem tells the Neshama before it comes in this world, I'm sending you now on a life's mission to be Mekadosh Hashem Shemaim. That wherever you're going to be on the world, I want you to make a tremendous Kiddush Hashem and call out Hashem's name. And that's going to be until you will merit El Uretz Asher Ereku, you will come back to Oidam Abo after 120 years, having fulfilled your life's mission. Your life's mission is to be Mekadosh Hashem Shemaim wherever you go. Ma'asa Uvasim Adabunim. And that he answers why we asked before, why is the challenge of Lech Lecho perhaps even bigger than the challenge of the Akedas Yitzchak, sacrificing your own child? The answer is, sacrificing your own child is a one-off. It's a one-off challenge. It's not a life's challenge. Whereas Lech Lecho, that's a life's job. It's a life's mission. It's a life's challenge. Now comes the main question. If that is so, that is our mission in life, to be Mekadosh Hashem Shemaim, how do we do it? As the Rambam explains, the Rambam Hilchos Yesod HaTorah gives a very clear definition of what Kiddush Hashem means. Kiddush Hashem, he says, means one thing. Means that people are going to say, Ashrei Eladotoy, I wish I could be like him. He is such an example. I wish I could be like him. He says, everywhere he goes, people could say, where did he come from? Who brought him up? I wish I could grow up like him. That is the definition of Kiddush Hashem. If a person is able to do that, and the Rambam goes on to say exactly how you do that, is by being friendly, by being nice, by being polite, by not fighting, and by talking everything in a relaxed way. That is the way of making a Kiddush Hashem. But I think I would like to focus on one point, which I think that is going to be the crunch of what we're going to talk about today. And that is that there is a misconception, there is a misunderstanding when it comes to the job of Kiddush Hashem. People have this misunderstanding or misconception that they think that in order to be Mekadosh Hashem Shemaim, you have to try as much as you could to behave like them, to be similar to them, and to try and behave in their ways. And by doing that, you will be able to befriend them, and you will be able to make a Kiddush Hashem. Now here comes Avraham Avinu to the picture. Avraham Avinu, he is the one, he is the first person in the universe who is Mekadosh Hashem Shemaim. He was the biggest Mekadosh Hashem Shemaim in the universe ever to be and which will ever be. He taught us exactly how you have to be a Mekadosh Hashem Shemaim. Now if we focus on Avraham Avinu, we will see an interesting thing. On the one hand, Avraham Avinu, he was a tremendous Machnes Eurich. He did so much chesed, he gave so much, he opened his doors, all four doors from all four sides. Anyone who wanted to come at any time of the day or night was able to find a warm meal and a place to stay and a place to sleep. And he went around talking in such a nice way. He davened for Sodom. Yeah, the Sodom, they were the biggest Rishom, and they were about to, Hashem was about to kill them all. And Avraham Avinu stood up and he davened to Hashem, please save these people. He tried as much as he could to save all of them, to be good to everyone, to be polite to everyone, to be nice to everyone. But at the same time, we find that Avraham Avinu was called Avraham Ho'ivri. Why was it called Avraham Ho'ivri? It's written in Chazal, because the entire world was standing on one side and he was standing on the other side. He behaved in a completely new way that no one ever before behaved like him. Until he came along, everyone was idol worship. We were all doing Avodah Zarah. Avraham Avinu came along and said, that's not true. There's Hashem on the world, there's a creator in the world, and I'll tell everyone that there's a creator in the world. How do these two things fit together? It seems to be a contradiction. One would have thought that if you are Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, if you act strange in a different way, then people are not going to respect you. People are going to say, we don't want to be like him if he acts in such a strange way. Said that's not. It's on the contrary. It's on the other way around. If a person sticks to his values and a person goes and continues sticking to his values with pride, then not only will he not cause a chilul Hashem, but in fact people will start respecting him even more. The same Avraham Avinu who was so polite and so nice and so friendly to everyone, but at the same time he didn't compromise on his values, not even a single iota. He didn't change his values and he stuck to what he felt was right. He didn't change a single thing, and that was why he was able to be the biggest Mekadosh Shem Shemayim ever to be in the history. And I think that's something which is very important for us to understand. I once mentioned it before, that people very often feel uncomfortable walking on the street looking slightly different, especially this day and age. I remember once walking down, on Shabbos I wear a shtramel, and I think, sometimes people could feel a little bit self-conscious, people staring at you. I couldn't care less, I'm happy, I'm proud of what I do. I remember one time taking a black taxi, and we were going from, I can't remember what it was, and this black taxi says, "You're from the Jewish nation, aren't you?" I said, "Yes." He says, "There are some part of the Jewish people who they wear those fur hats." And in the weekday, I don't go dressed in the shtramel, so I go dressed in the regular hats. He didn't put two and two together that I'm the same person who Shabbos I wear my shtramel. He said, "There are some of those Jews who they wear those furry hats and those silk coats." I said, "Yes, I know them very well." I said, It's something which is so beautiful to see these people walking down the road, and they're so proud with their legacy, they're so proud with their uniform, and they're not embarrassed about it." And he said, "I wish I could take a picture of them." He says, I don't know if I'm allowed to take a picture. They may, maybe it's illegal to take a picture without asking them. He says, "In fact," he says, "I gave out the album of all the photos which I've taken from my black cab, and it's called Out of the Cab Window. That's the name of this album. And I wish to take a picture of one of those Jews and put them on the front cover of my album. But I first would like to ask them permission." So I told them, I give you my personal permission. I also belong to that cult. If you want, you can take a picture however much you want, and you can put it on the front page of your album. I'll be very happy if you do that. So you see from it that not only do people look down at you, they don't look down at you. They actually respect you because they see that you are actually standing strong for your values and you're not willing to compromise at all. He says that this could be Kiddush Hashem is in Shaykh in many ways. So as we said before, it's when you go between Goyim and you act in a respectful way, you act and you stick to your values, that can make a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. I've heard often from people who they regard in the Kirov world, they try to be Makarov people, and also they have this feeling that, in order to get to be Makarov these people, you have to somewhat lower yourself down to their level, and then you're able to pull them up to you. And Avraham Avinu teaches us differently. Do not compromise at all on your values. In fact, by not compromising, that is the way you will gain their respect, and you will order to do the make a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. I just saw yesterday, it was a recording of a woman in Eretz Yisrael who, she's called Ravitz, she's called. Could be that I've heard the story before. She's called Rivka Ravitz. She was the head of staff to one of the presidents of Israel. I think it was called Reuven Rivlin. I think it was one of the previous presidents of Israel. So she was the head of staff, and she was a frum lady. She's a frum lady, and she says exactly how she got to get this job. She was a frum lady. So she was wherever he used to go, he used to take her along, and he used to visit all the biggest presidents and all the biggest prime ministers in the world. She said every single president, any of the big names you could even think of, Obama, Trump, Biden, Putin, all the big shots, she met all of them, every single one of them, and she went on all the royal visits together with this Rivdan. So she says, at some point, it was going to be the first time in the history where an Israeli president was going to meet with the Pope in the Vatican, in Rome. She was going to meet the Pope, and that was a very tremendous thing, because it's the first time in history ever such a thing to happen. And the Israeli government put a lot of weight on this visit. He said, because it's going to mean a lot to them that all the nations are going to see that, that they're making ties, and it'll benefit them a lot. So she decided she's going to go along. But then they were told exactly how it was going to go. They had to plan many months in advance, and so they're going to get there, and they're going to be picked up by the limousine, and they're going to get to the Vatican, and there they're going to be escorted with a whole escort of soldiers and of all these cardinals and who knows what, and they're going to go down these long, long corridors, and then eventually when they're going to get down, they were told every single move what they're going to do. They're going to get down the corridor into one of the chambers, and there all the cardinals are going to go away, and they're going to be left on their own, and then all of a sudden the side door will open up, and the Pope himself, His Majesty, will come out, and he will give everyone his hand, and then he'll give each person a present, and that's what they're going to do. So she thinks to herself, oh my gosh, I can't give my hand to a man. That's one of my values, and I can't compromise on it. So she told the ambassador, you know what, why don't you tell the Pope in advance that I won't be able to give my hand, because that's what I stand for, that's one of my values, and I can't compromise on it. So he said, no problem, I'll give over the message to the Pope. Well, sure enough, he forgot to give over the message. Yeah. So there she is, in Rome, on the way to the Vatican, and she's sitting in the limousine and thinking to herself, what in the world am I going to do now when I'm going to meet the Pope? So they try to tell her that, you know, that's something you have to do as a one-off. You're going to have to, compromise. It's something that it's a tremendous weight on it, because, you know, if you're going to, the whole Israeli government is dependent on this, and if you're not going to, so she said, there's no such thing. I'm not going to compromise a single bit of what I stand for. She comes in there, and of course all these cardinals, and she's shivering, and she's sweating, and she doesn't know what to do. And they're coming down the corridor, and all the cardinals, I actually saw a video of them all walking down, the whole big delegation, and they're going down these very, very narrow corridors. And as they get there, all the cardinals go away, and all of a sudden a side door opens up, and sure enough, the Pope comes out wearing this kapel and the long cloak, and he comes out, and he first gives his hand to Rivlin, his president, and to all the delegations, and then you can see that he walks over to her and he sticks out his hand, and she stands there with her hands like this, and this Rivlin turns to the Pope and it tries to explain, you know, that she is a Haredi and she's from and she's this. The Pope couldn't understand the language. I don't know which language he talks. I don't know what Italian. I don't know what language he talks. So he had someone who interpreted that. So, and then he stands there. And he looks for a moment, and then he stands there, and he bows down to her like this. And so they took a picture of him bowing down to this Haredi woman, and it was on every single newspaper all over the world. So it was the first time in the history the Pope bowing down to someone. Not only did he not make a Chilul Hashem, in fact, he made it was the biggest Kiddush Hashem, that the Pope himself understood that someone who sticks to the values is something which is a tremendous effect. Now, I'll take this one step further, and I think that is the main thing that we could take out. People very often, especially nowadays and age, people feel there's something called social pressure, something called peer pressure. People very often, they know what their values are, but they feel they can't withstand the social pressure. It could be in many, many different areas, whether it's in certain specific building houses in certain ways, buying certain cars, which perhaps you can't afford, which perhaps it's making a simcha, making a kiddush hachasana in a way that you can't perhaps afford, but you're doing it only because of social pressure. Whether it's being attached to the social media in a big, big way, you have to be part of every single WhatsApp group, because if not, then my friends going to say. These are all things which people do, not because deep down, when they make an introspection, they know that that's not right. They know that that's not the value, but they feel that they can't withstand the social pressure. What people have to understand is the biggest Kiddush Hashem you could do is by sticking to your values and by saying, Hashem, this is what I stand for. This is my values, and I'm not going to compromise my values. Now, you'll see an interesting thing is going to happen. Not only are you going to not lose out on social pressure, but in fact, your friends are going to actually start respecting you a lot more. You think when you make this big, lavish simcha that everyone comes to and wishes you mazel tov and they're being so friendly and so nice to you, you think that they really respect you. They don't really respect you. They don't respect you. When you stand for what your values are, and you say that this is my values and I'm not going to compromise, then that's when they start respecting you. So if you tell your friends, I decided to narrow down the time I spend on the social media, I'm not going to have to be part of every single group in the whole world. I'll take off some of them. You think your friends are going to look down at you? It's not true. It's the other way around. They're actually going to start respecting you. Someone who's able to withstand the peer pressure and to do what he feels is right, that is the biggest Kiddush Hashem one could do. That is what Avraham Avinu is teaching us. Avraham Avinu, the whole world is standing on one side, you're standing on the other side, but at the same time, you have to be polite, you have to be friendly, you have to be nice to all these people. It's not a contradiction, these two things. You could be at the same time, you could be friendly and nice and polite, and at the same time you stick to your own values and you don't compromise one iota. I saw in It's so beautiful. What it says in the Shulchan Aruch in the beginning, it says that al yayvish udam mepnayim aligam ulof. A person should not be embarrassed from the people who try and make fun of him. Now that is something which is very strange. It's one thing if you tell someone, keep on doing what you do, even though you're going to be embarrassed, people are going to embarrass you, but still continue doing it. Yes, it should have said that you shouldn't stop doing the mitzvahs because people make fun of you. But it doesn't say that. It says al yayvish. You shouldn't even be embarrassed. What do you mean? How can you tell someone not to be embarrassed when people are actually making fun of him? You can tell him, be embarrassed, but still continue doing what you are doing. So I saw a beautiful vault, and I've got my own tales. First, I'll tell you the vault which I heard from a big goon in Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim. He's called Reb Chaim Uri, a Freund. He said a beautiful, beautiful vault. He says, imagine if you heard that there's some African country that there are diamonds on the roads. You could just go and pick up the diamonds. They don't know the value. They don't appreciate the value of diamonds. You can go there, you can pick up however many diamonds you want. So you come to this country, these people have never in their life seen a white man. Never in their life seen a white man. And this strange-looking person comes there to this country of theirs with a white face. And he stands on the road and he picks up these stones. These people were standing on the road, they were holding their sides of laughter, and they couldn't control themselves. It's the funniest sight that they've ever seen in the whole life they've ever seen. They've seen this person standing there picking up stones with a white face. It's not such a strange thing, and they were making fun of him and making a whole joke out of him. Let me ask you a question. Does this first person feel embarrassed? He's actually embarrassed, but he's still going to continue taking the diamonds because he knows that's right? No. He's not the one to be embarrassed. They're the ones who have to be embarrassed. He knows he's doing the right thing. He's a good-looking person. He's got a white face, and he is picking up diamonds. It's these Nebuch and these people are the Nebuch. They haven't got the white face, and Nebuch, they don't know the value of diamonds. They're the Nebuch. So not, I'm not going to be embarrassed to them. Not like, I'm still going to be embarrassed, but I'm still going to do it. No, I'm not going to be embarrassed. Aliyah v'shudim v'pnayim aligim ulof means, I'm picking up diamonds. I'm doing the right thing. If they're making fun of me, then they're the ones who have to be embarrassed, not me. That's the pshat that I heard from the school. I thought to myself a different pshat. Based on what we've just said now. Why shouldn't you be embarrassed? Because they're not really making fun of you. They're actually respecting you. You think that they're making fun of you, they're not making fun of you. You should know that even though they may pretend that they're making fun of you, deep, deep down, they are actually respecting you. Because since they see that you're standing for your values, they are respecting you. There's nothing to be embarrassed of because you've just gained their respect. You haven't gained them. You haven't been embarrassed by them. The person has to know that this is what the Torah is telling us. The Torah is telling us, Lech lechu ma'artzuchu imi meladotuchu mebaisavichu. People are surrounded by baisavichu, the certain ways which the family behaves in a certain way. And perhaps the meladotuchu, my country, my friends, my social pressure, my peer pressure behaves in a certain way. Ma'artzuchu, there's certain, from the country, there's certain things that come into penetrate into the Jewish world, and I feel they have to do it because otherwise I'm not going to be part of society. Society pressure. Hashem tells the person, tells the Rumavini, Lech Lechu, go to yourself. Find yourself. Make an introspection. What are my values? What do I stand for? What do I feel is right? Lech Lechu, go away, from all those peer pressure and all those things. Stick to what your values are. Whenever a person is going to come to a point where he has a challenge. Should I compromise on my values because of peer pressure? Or should I rather compromise on my peer pressure because of the values? And he chooses to compromise on the peer pressure and to stick to his values, then he is being Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. Every single time he does that, he's being Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. And only that, that will be all the nations of the world are going to say, wow, this is Avraham Avinu who sticks to his values, he doesn't compromise at all. We wish we could be like him. Not only are they not going to denigrate you, but they're actually going to start respecting you for sticking to your things and for doing what you have to do. I'll finish off with a beautiful story which I just saw now, which brings out very much this point. It's a true story. There was a famous singer in Eretz Yisrael who was a big singer and used to go around for simchas, and I think he charged, it was about £5,000 a night, and that was his $5,000, I can't remember exactly how much it was, to sing, what? Shekel. Oh, no, that was a shekel, it was dollars. And he was invited to come to a chasana. Okay, so he came, he arrives at this chasana, it's a big, huge event, big, beautiful, lavish chasana, and he comes in and he sees that there's no mechitza. There's no mechitza, and the men and the women are sitting together, which obviously means there's going to be mixed dancing. So he goes over to the Baal Simcha and he says, I'm very sorry, but there's no way I could sing by such a chasna. There's going to be mixed dancing. I don't know. It's not against my values. So this, well, Simcha said, you should have told me this in advance. He said, well, it didn't even enter my mind that someone's going to call me in such a place. I'm very sorry, but I have to let you down. He said, if you let me down, then that means that I'm going to be stuck without a singer, and I'll take you to court. I'll take you to court for you know, we wrote a contract, and you, he said, you could do whatever you want. You could take me to court. There's no way in the world which I'm going to compromise on my values. Okay, so he walks out. Sure enough, 2 weeks later, he gets in the post. He gets a letter from the court. They asked to come and come to court. They're asking that they want to give him a knas. They want to give him a penalty of £40,000 for not sticking to the contract. Okay, so he comes to court and explains his side of the coin, and he says that these are my values. And the judge says, listen, I understand you, but at the same time, a contract is a contract, and since you didn't stick to the contract, you have to pay £40,000. So this person said, okay, if that's what you tell me to do, then I'm willing to pay any money in the world. So he goes with the biggest serenity, takes out £40,000, an envelope, and he gives it to this person who made the simcha, and he thought that that was where the whole story finished, and he went home, and he felt good with himself that, you know, at least he stuck to his values. A year later, he gets an invitation to come to a Pidyon HaBen. To come to Pidyon HaSimcha of a Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBen, obviously, they charge less. He's going to get paid £4,000 for singing by this Pidyon HaBen. Okay, so fine. So he comes to the Pidyon HaBen, the large crowd, and he saw, and the, you know, the grandfather, the father's father, comes over to him. He's a frum-looking man, and he gives him in his hand, and he says, do you recognize me? She says, I don't recognize you. She says, well, let me remind you. Do you remember the story a year ago when some friar Yid called you to come and spit and sing by this chasana? He says, of course I remember. I had to pay £40,000. Of course I remember about that. He says, look at me closely. Do I look similar to that person? She said, yes. He said, well, let me tell you the story that happened. He says, after the story, me and my wife are thinking to ourselves, she says, wow. We've never seen such strength. A person with such serenity, and he goes and he takes out £40,000 without blinking an eyelid. He didn't make a commotion. He just said, listen, that's what I stick for. That's my values. And I thought to myself, if his values mean so much to him that he's willing to give away £40,000 for his values, then that means that there's some truth to those values. So I decided to try and make some research and look into it to see what are those values. Why is it so important to him? And sure enough, to make a long story short, I became frum, my wife became frum. We actually moved away from the friar neighborhood, we moved into a frum neighborhood, and we changed our entire family. We changed completely. We became frum even because of that story. He takes out three envelopes from his pocket. He says, one envelope, here's the £40,000 to pay you back for your bill for the court. Another envelope takes out £5,000. This is to pay you for that chasna that you would have gotten from me last year. And the next one, this is the £4,000 for tonight's event. He takes out this thing. So not only was he rewarded that he got his money back, but much more importantly, he actually was Mekarev, a Yiddish family, Tibezoiche, Tachas Kampf Ashkenaz. That only came because he stuck to his values, because he didn't compromise not even a single bit. That's why he was Zoiche to it. The Vrumid Hashem tells the Vrumid Vini, if you will do that, you will fulfill your life's mission. You will Zoiche to go into Eretz Yisrael, Ele Uretz Asher Ereku, to the town, to the country where I will show you. We all know we're in times now, very turbulent times, and we all wish that Bekuri should be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. And of course, we ask from Hashem that we should be zoyfe to go into Eretz Yisrael only through goodness, and not chalila v'chas, no yid should be hurt. But the best and the biggest way to do that, is says the Ramban, is by accomplishing our mission, by being mekadosh Hashem Shemayim. And every single time we make our conscious decision that we're not going to compromise on our values because of peer pressure, we are being mekadosh Hashem Shemayim. And by that, we will be zoicha to go al uretz asher ereku, to our country, to Eretz Yisrael, to rachmim v'chasudim v'gilim, v'mhayru b'yamayin y'umayin.
Amen.